Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And I'll tell you what, the Supreme Court, they're working on your financial freedom too, because yesterday they finally ruled on the unlawful efforts of the CDC. That's right, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. And I'm not saying the CDC is bad or anything. I think they have an important role in our government. But unfortunately, the CDC only has certain authorities provided to it by the Constitution. So the CDC is not a major arm in our government. It's not the president, which is the executive branch. It's not the Congress, which is the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. And it's certainly not the United States Supreme Court. And yesterday, the Supreme Court basically said that the CDC eviction ban, it's improper. And as a result of that, it's now invalid. So, what happens next? Where do we go from here? What do you do? If you own property, do you start throwing people out? Well, I think you need to take a look at the business relationships that you have with the people that rent property from you. And if you're somebody that doesn't own rental property, this is a good opportunity for you to understand the importance of relationships. Relationships will make or break you in this world. And when you decide that you want to stop doing whatever it is you're doing, trading time for money to buy stuff that's not getting you to a place of retirement, let alone changing your existing life and trading it in for something that's even better than what you're experiencing, relationships, well, I'll tell you what, they're the end all, be all. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about those relationships. We're going to talk about whether or not you should be throwing people out on the street. Yeah, I said that. Throwing people out on the street sounds like I'm a bad, mean guy, right? Well, here's the thing. I'm not throwing anybody out on the street. I am not. As a matter of fact, the relationships that I have with my renters have been solid through this entire pandemic. I have not had to move towards any type of eviction proceedings with any of my residents because I established firm relationships with them. When this whole COVID thing started 18 months ago, the first thing that I did was make contact with my residents and ask them if they're being affected by this thing. And if you recall some of the conversations that I've had with you over this time period, I did have residents that were materially affected. I had one resident, basically he couldn't do his job anymore because he was deemed non-essential. And what that guy did was he went out and he found a different job. And not just one job, he found two jobs to replace the income that he was losing because his first job vaporized. That person understood that he's responsible for his own life. He is responsible for proceeding through life in a correct way. See, he had signed a lease with me. And in that lease, I agreed to provide him clean, functional workforce housing and to maintain that property. And he, in return, agreed to pay me an amount every month on the first of the month, and he also agreed not to do anything terrible to that property other than just, you know, normal wear and tear because he's going to live there. And that's a good, healthy business relationship. And when I contacted him, literally, I want to say we went into lockdown somewhere in March. I don't remember the exact date. But when that happened, the first thing that happened at Lifestyles Unlimited was information started flowing to the membership. Yeah, all of the key players in Lifestyles Unlimited got together and said, this is going to be a problem. How do we resolve the problem? And then the key players brought in lead investors, people that own a lot of apartment communities, as well as the independent rental operators. Oh, and then there's those of us that own single family that got lumped into that group too. Because what we became as an organization was a problem-solving organization. That's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We weren't going to take this CDC thing lying down. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of the pandemic, we didn't even know where this was supposed to go, right? Because what did the government tell us back then? Hey, put your mask on, stay at home, 2 weeks. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then we'll get back to business as usual. Yeah. And having worked for the government for the majority of my life, I'm very leery of the information that comes out of the government because there's always a spin to it. There's always something to it designed to reduce potential panic and to give you a warm, fuzzy feeling, which may not actually come to resolution. So all the great guidance that came out of Lifestyles Unlimited was filtered immediately to its members for us to utilize. And one of the first things we were told was this: if you haven't talked to your residents yet, you're behind the curve, get going. Start talking to them, understand their situation, because together we will get through this. Apart, we will have problems. Now, I'm not going to tell you that every Lifestyles Unlimited member didn't experience some kind of, you know, challenge through the pandemic, but I am going to tell you this. When you compare a Lifestyles Unlimited owned property, not that Lifestyles owns any property, but its members do, to a non-Lifestyles operated property, day and night. We come back from the break, we're going to get back into relationships.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself, who got started at 87, go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we're talking about relationships. You have them. I have them. Some relationships are good. Some relationships are great. Some relationships, not so much. So, why do we care? Why do we care about creating relationships with other people. Well, if you're somebody that thinks you get it all figured out, you probably feel like you don't need to have any relationships with anybody else because you've got it all dialed in, right? There's nobody who could possibly give you any additional information that could change your mind. And from that perspective, you're actually a pretty closed-minded person. Now, I didn't just call you a dirty name or anything like that. I'm just saying you're kind of a closed-minded person. And maybe you ought to consider expanding your horizons a little bit. Now, on the other side of the equation, there are people that will take any input from just about anybody, and they'll act on it. They won't qualify the information. They won't qualify the individual providing the information. They'll just take the information with a grain of salt, and they'll say it's good to go. Those people, they're a little too open-minded. Where you need to be is somewhere in the middle. Yeah, it's okay to make your own opinions and frame your own ideas and say, okay, this is the way we're going to do business. But you also need to get input from other people that can assist you with moving forward. That's why relationships are so important. That's why at Lifestyles Unlimited, we're actually organized in a way to promote positive and favorable relationships, relationships with other like-minded individuals that are getting or have gotten to where you're trying to get to. That's why I think it's so darn important for you to be a part of an organization that fully understands what it is you're trying to accomplish in life. I have a lot of very, very solid relationships. I do. I have relationships that benefit me from a myriad of different places. And you're going, oh, really? Really? So where do those come from? All right. Well, let's talk about spirituality, which is something I think you need to focus on in your life. Whatever that means to you, you need to develop relationships that support your spirituality. Now, for me, I just happen to belong to a small group in my church, and we do life together. That's what we do. We share some of the heartaches of living in this world with each other, and then we assist each other with getting through those things. And I'll tell you, those relationships have been very beneficial to me as a person. It's been very beneficial to me as a man who has a family. Knowing that there's other men out there going through the same struggles that I am is awesome. Having those relationships is awesome. As a matter of fact, the women in our small group, they formed a really tight bond with each other. Not that they're against us or anything, because that's not the case. But they have friendships, they have the opportunity to share information with each other. I mean, some intimate things that each of us as human beings need to address. So I think those kind of relationships are very, very important in your life. If you don't have them, maybe you ought to seek them out. Now, another relationship I think you need to have is focused on your family. That's right, your family. Too easy is it for us, but I sounded like Yoda there, didn't I? Too easy is it for us? I don't know. He probably would have said it in a way cooler way than I just did. But it's really easy for us as people to get caught up in the day-to-day grind of the lives that we've created for ourselves. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I said the life you've created for yourself, because nobody created that life for you. You made decisions that got you to exactly where you are right now. Some of those decisions were awesome decisions. Some of those decisions may not have been so awesome. But whatever those decisions were, you are where you are based on decisions that you have made. As a matter of fact, you are where you are based on decisions that maybe some other people have made on your behalf. Yeah, it's just the way it is. And what I'm getting at here is that life tends to be very very demanding, especially if you're trading time for money in a job. And I know this all too well because I did it for so many years of my life. And your family is usually the first casualty of all that time that you spend in other places, which is usually at the job. Yeah. So I think you need to build relationships within your family. Don't just assume that your wife loves you. Now, I'm not saying she doesn't. I'm not saying that. But you got to put some effort into that relationship. You really do. That's, to me, that's the most important human relationship you have, is the person that you brought into your life, who agreed to come into your life as your spouse. And I'm talking to you women out there too. I'm not just talking to the guys. I think your spouse deserves a great relationship. That's what I think. Now, your children, they deserve a great relationship too. And depending on where they are in the age spectrum, they require different levels of nurturing. They do. But you are building a lifetime relationship with your children. I mean, think about it. By the time they are born, I mean, let's be honest with you, babies don't, they look at you, they kind of know who you are, maybe, I don't know. But can you remember anything from when you were a baby? I can't. I mean, my oldest recollections, I think, go back to maybe when I was 2 or 3 years old. I'm not really sure. But here's the point. My mom and dad were always in the picture every day. They were the first humans I always interacted with. And I will tell you this. My relationship with my children is just as important to me as my relationship with my spouse. Because I came from a family that didn't have great relationships. Now my mom and dad were alcoholics. They were more focused on whatever it was for them. And, you know, I was pretty much on my own for the majority of my life. Even though I lived in their household, I wasn't really, you know, I was just there, right? I mean, that's the way I felt. And that's kind of the way my parents dealt with me. Now, I don't want you to feel sad for me, because you know what? That experience caused me to understand that my relationship with my family is absolutely at the pinnacle of what's important to me, along with my relationship with God. I'm just telling you, that's who I am. Now, there's other relationships out there that we're going to explore. Yeah, we're going to talk them through this show because I think it's so important. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about, well, I'm going to save it for after the break. Stick around.
The other thing, I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so you're probably still hung up on the CDC losing to the Supreme Court and the fact that the eviction moratorium that was put into place by the Center for Disease Control is improper. It's improper. They never had the authority to do it. Yeah. So, you know, how do you make things like that happen? Well, you actually have to go through Congress. Yeah, Congress is supposed to come up with the laws in this country. They're the ones that are supposed to do the hard work of figuring out what our society is supposed to have. And they pass bills which go to the president to sign, and then it becomes law. Well, when the pandemic hit almost 18 months ago, decisions were made hastily, and I'm not saying that what was done was improper. I'm just saying that there were hasty decisions made because the government felt a need to protect the populace. And it seemed like the CDC issuing some kind of mandate might have been the way to go. Unfortunately, it really wasn't. And I've actually talked about it on this show several times over the last 18 months, that I've always thought the CDC never had the authority. Well, the Supreme Court just came out last night and said the CDC doesn't have the authority to do anything with regards to housing in this country. Yeah, it's like fish out of water. They're supposed to be focused on medical health issues, not supposed to be focused on housing. That's a completely different arm of the government. But somebody advised somebody that this is the way to go, and, you know, I guess they figured, what the heck, we'll just do it until we're told we can't do it anymore. All right, that happened last night. So you might be thinking, wow, everybody's going to get thrown out of their house effective today, and that's not true. That is not a true statement. There are people that have been living in properties that have chosen for one reason or another to not pay their rent. Now, I don't know everybody's individual circumstances, so I'm not pointing or projecting any blame on anybody. But I think it's important for us as owners of property that go into business relationships with the people that occupy that property to have relationships, to understand what is going on in their world. Now, I'm going to say something to you that may shock you. Some people just don't tell the truth. Some people actually lie. So you have to take that with a grain of salt, because sometimes you don't know if you're being lied to or you're being told the truth. Now, I'm one of those guys. I treat everybody honestly, fairly, and truthfully. Yeah, I have found throughout my life that's the best way to do it. That's absolutely the best way to operate. But there are people in this world that don't agree with that. Okay, it is what it is. But having said that, even though the CDC no longer has any authority to stop evictions in this country, it wouldn't surprise me if this country, if the leaders of this country come up with a plan B. So we're potentially not out of the woods. So don't do a victory lap or anything like that, because trust me, the people that want to see the eviction moratorium extended will do anything in their power to get that done. And trust me, those people have relationships too. Yes. Now you're starting to get the big picture, right? Let's say the eviction moratorium, it's dust. It no longer exists. Can you just throw people out? And the short answer is no. No, you have to have a cause to remove people from your property. And there is a legal remedy called eviction that allows you to go through the proper steps as agreed to by this country and set forth in laws. Yeah, that's the way it works. So here's the first thing you need to know. Evictions have actually occurred. That, believe it or not, evictions have actually occurred, because if you read the root cause of the CDC moratorium, they basically said that if it was COVID-related, so the resident in your property had to provide supporting documentation to you to convince you that, okay, they're being affected by COVID. Now, there were also rent relief programs that were put into place, but one of the articles I read yesterday said that 89% of the funds have not been utilized. Another article said 93% of the funds had not been utilized. And when they're talking about funds, they're talking about like billions of dollars of money. By the way, that's our money. We paid the taxes for that. That is supposed to be distributed out to people that are being affected. Okay, so there's a huge problem there. If the money is there and it's intended to go to the people that are being affected, why is it not getting to them? Well, one of the things that we did at Lifestyles Unlimited back in the day was we took the bull by the horns and we went to these agencies that were supposed to provide rent relief for our residents, and we helped them out. We totally helped them out. As a matter of fact, we filled out applications for our residents. We blew through the red tape on their behalf. We prepared everything for them because we have relationships with them. We don't want to see our residents damaged. I don't want to throw anybody out in the street. That's the last thing on my list of things to do. The ultimate last thing. My residents are important to me. They are valuable to my business model. They are valuable to what I am doing to change my lifestyle. And I'm here to tell you, I got their back. As long as they've got my back, I've got their back. So this eviction moratorium thing, here's the deal. The courts are backlogged already because even for the people that we were allowed to remove because it was a non-COVID related event. Oh, and by the way, that's not everywhere in the country. Yeah, different judges see things differently and they make their opinions based on whatever criteria they used. I'm not picking on judges, but there's no uniformity out there. Guaranteed, there's no uniformity. And as a result of that, the courts are backlogged. So if all of a sudden, effective today, anyone who could be evicted gets filed on, the courts are going to be even more backlogged. So how long do you think this is going to take? And by the way, when you get to the point where you're going through the court system, that tells me that your relationships have failed. Yeah, you either did something to fail the relationship or your resident did something to fail the relationship, but the relationship is strained. You've not come to an agreement, and now you've had to go down a legal remedy. Legal remedies are expensive. Legal remedies take time. And legal remedies always don't turn out the way you expect them to. So this gets back to the whole concept of relationships that I'm telling you about. You know, there's other places in your life where you have to have relationships too. I mean, you've got to have relationships with regards to your health. You have to have a relationship with your doctor. They have to understand your medical history. And then you have relationships with other people that guide you. Like for me, when I focus on the wealth component of my life, I've got relationships with mentors. I've got relationships with fellow like-minded investors that I can pick up the phone and call and bounce ideas off of. And I'll tell you what, those relationships are wonderful. They are so absolutely wonderful. As a matter of fact, I had Alex on the show yesterday, and he's a mentor in his 30s. Okay, he's in his later 30s, but I got like 20 years on the dude. You know what he told me offline? He said, Al, I know you're in the house hunt and everything like that, but maybe you need to consider renting for a year, building that war chest up, and going nuts. And I was like, man, that's actually a good idea. We come back from the break. I'm going to tell you what I thought.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate: cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so yesterday, Alex mentioned to you on the show, he said that at one point in his life, he was following the Cortez strategy. You remember Cortez? He was the guy that came from Europe came to the other hemisphere, other part of the atmosphere. And when he landed, he ordered his men to burn the ships. Yeah, because there ain't no going back. And that works for Alex's personality. It really does. Alex and I actually have a lot in common. We're both kind of type A personalities. We're the type of people that are very quick to understand things and very quick to reach a conclusion and act. Sometimes people think that we're a little too quick to act, but that's just the way we are as type A people. Now, we also know how to break out the spreadsheet and do analysis and stuff like that, but for the most part, we're type A guys. So when a guy like Alex says, "Hey, man, you ought to burn the ships," I actually considered doing that. I did. Yeah. And you're wondering why. Why would I do that? Why would you do that, Al? Okay, well, here's what's going on in my world. I sold my house, closed escrow, got the big fat checks. Check. There's just one check, but it was a big fat check. Well, it wasn't really a check. I had it wired into my checking account so that my bank would not put a hold on it. So now I've got a big chunk of money sitting in my checking account. And a big portion of that money is being moved over to my investment account. Yeah, a couple $100,000. Because that was part of our strategy. We wanted to change where we were living. We decided that the house we were in was really just too much house for us. The neighborhood had changed, and okay, it's time to move on. And we found some great buyers to buy the property. Now everything's out of the way. So we're kind of hanging out in corporate housing right now, trying to figure out what the next step looks like. Now, some of you are confused because you remember me telling you that we had identified a house that my wife loved in a really nice place, and we'd made an offer on the property. The offer was accepted. And as we were going through the entitlement process, what we found was that the appraisal came in $110,000 less than the asking price. I told my agent, I said, "Look, the price points here, I don't see any comps that support that price point, but maybe the other side of the equation, you know, the other agent, they've got something they know that they're not sharing with us about value. I'm willing to take a chance on it because the property's nice. I could see myself living here." And when the appraisal came in $110,000 light, well, the seller just kind of expected me to make up the difference, just write them an extra $110,000 check for a property that an appraiser just proved wasn't worth that extra $110,000. So I walked away, canceled the escrow. I said, no thanks. I mean, when somebody is stuck on their price and the comps don't support it, they're living in fantasy land. And unfortunately, in my opinion, their agent was supporting them living in fantasy land. And I'm just not the kind of guy that is willing to just, you know, here's $110,000. Good luck with the rest of your life. It took me some effort to earn that $110,000. I'm not willing to just walk away from that money. Now, if they'd come back and said, "Hey, man, you know, if you're willing to come up with like an extra $25,000, we'll meet you there," I probably would have done that, because now that's a more reasonable argument. So when Alex said on the show yesterday that, you know, he followed the Cortez strategy, he sold his house and he moved into what he described was a not so nice rental home. And he lived in that home for 2 years. And the reason he did that was to keep his capital outlays as low as possible while he was transitioning into a phase of investing where he was going to be buying a lot of apartment units and renovating those apartment units and changing his life. For him, that made perfect sense. Now, for his wife was like, "I don't know if you know, are you smoking something?" My point is this: Alex did what was best for him and his family. And he had relationships within his family that trusted him to do the right thing. Now, Alex's wife, she wasn't initially on board, and he had to spend a little time nurturing that idea with her, but eventually she saw the light. And I'll tell you what, Alex today is in a much more favorable financial position because he was willing to do something difficult to get to where he has gotten to. As a matter of fact, he mentioned to you that he is building his dream house right now on a piece of property that he loves. And I'm like, dude, I like that idea. So during one of the breaks, he and I actually talked about that strategy. And he basically told me, he said, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to say that this works for your situation, but here's what it did for my situation. He laid it all out. He just barked out all the numbers. So I actually talked to my wife yesterday about doing what Alex did. And you know what she told me? I'm not opposed to it. See, what I did was I sat down with my wife, somebody I have a very strong relationship with. And to be honest with you, I think she's better at the relationship stuff than I am. It's just the way it is. But we sat down and we talked about our strategy and what maybe renting a house for a year or two would do for us from a financial standpoint. I mean, because right now we're looking at houses that we kind of like, and we had to bump our price point up to get to the type of properties that we really want to live in. But we're also smart enough to realize that we need to have concurrent planning systems because we could go either way. Yeah, I could go buy that really nice house that I want, but I have to decide something first. Is this the right time for me to do that? Because there's opportunity cost depending on which path I travel. Now, you know, some people would say, dude, get the house. Prices are going up. Yeah, but here's the problem. That house is not an asset. I want to spend my money on assets. I don't want to spend my money on liabilities. So that's in the back of my mind right now. Here's the other thing. Our price point is unfortunately going a little bit higher than where I wanted to be. I mean, that's just the reality of finding the right type of property for what I consider our lifestyles to be right now. And in the type of property I want to live in for the next 5 to 10 years. So I've got to consider that. But then there's that other thought of, you know, I could just go rent a house, little, I don't know, 2,000 square foot in a basic neighborhood. And I don't even know if I need 2,000 square feet. I mean, I don't need a lot of space. My kids are growing up. They're moving out on their own. I don't need to have space for them. I don't have grandkids yet, so I don't need space for grandkids. I could pull this off. I could live in an apartment or a house for a year or two and really just dial my expenses down, which puts more money available to the war chest to do the things I'm trying to do with multifamily. So it's a really interesting conundrum. And I'm kind of excited that I'm in this decision point. I really am, because I've got two paths that I can go by, and both of them are going to get me to where I'm trying to get to. One of them makes my ego feel better than the other. And I just said that because you need to know that your ego tends to play a role in your decision-making process. So we're talking about relationships. And everything that I shared with you on today's show is centered on relationships. I have people in my life that I have excellent relationships with, great relationships. Whatever your big word is, that's where I'm at with a lot of these relationships. I know people that have my back. And I also know that if I go to these people, depending on what they bring to the relationship, I'm going to get straight answers about what I'm trying to do. And I will tell you this, that's a really, really good feeling. So here's what you ought to do. You ought to go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. When you get there, sign up for a free workshop. Listen to what we have to say. If it makes sense for you, sign up. Become a member. Let's get you building those relationships that you need so that we can get you out of what you're doing and into where you want to be.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.